This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 320 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How about yourself, sir?
I'm doing pretty darn good, I reckon. Doing pretty darn good. Hey, did you know 5 years ago on this day, we released episode 71?
Wow. Mm-hmm. God, we've been at this for a while.
We have been at this for quite a while. I did not get a lot watched this week. I had a coworker pass away, and it's really just enveloped my week. So I did watch some stuff, but not a ton of stuff.
I watched the stuff that I was supposed to watch, but I think I'm gonna talk about your stuff more. I'm going to let you take the lead is what I'm trying to say for most of the shows.
Okay.
I will say that, you know, the update on this week's Doctor Who watch, we did The Doctor's Wife, which I love, you know, the one and only time that we give the TARDIS a voice.
Tremendous episode.
And, yep. And then we had to do the two-parter, The Rebel Flesh and The Almost People, which was crazy. I actually broke, like, normally I will be very good about keeping everything like inside, but I actually broke that rule with this one because I kept pointing out to Julia, I'm like, did you pick up right there where he looked at her and he just said breathe? She's like, yeah, should I notice? And I was like, yes, pay attention to that. And then like later when he tells her to breathe again, and then the third time when both doctors are like breathe, and I was like, are you picking up on it? She's like, yeah, this is weird, what's going on? I'm like, okay. And then at the end, when he like pulled her in close and he's like, push, but only when she tells you. She's like, you're frightening me. And yeah, the whole thing was like, what? And then right after that, we got A Good Man Goes to War.
Makes me want to rewatch it. I just don't have the time.
I know. It's quite enjoyable.
I wish I could get my wife into it.
Yeah. I was surprised. Like I did my typical upsell when I was like, okay, the early episodes are a little rough. This is a very cheesy show. You know, they always kind of pull it out in the end and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm cool with that. And then like, she has gotten into it hardcore. So
good for her.
Yeah. I got lucky there. But yeah, so we finally figured out who River Song is. And the next episode is Let's Kill Hitler. And I'm really looking forward to getting into that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. One of my buddies had talked about on a blog post. He talked about like when the WB network was created and the shows that were on it, and like how like he was excited because he was like 15 or 16 at the time, and it was like a new channel, a new network.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about like Dawson's Creek, where he how much he loved the show. And I'm familiar with Dawson's Creek. I've never seen an episode of Dawson's Creek.
I bet more than anything you're familiar with the crying Dawson meme.
Yes, I am. But I've just never, I've never watched an episode of Dawson's Creek before. And he's like, oh, you should check it out. You know, it's on HBO Max, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, fine. So Kate and she's like, she had never seen it either. And my reasoning for never watching is like, we didn't have the WB when it first launched, if you remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the WB, like it launched in 98. We didn't have it until 2001.
Right.
Because it was the first year of Smallville. That's when we got the WB like that fall. Yes. I remember watching Smallville and being like, oh, finally have the WB. But I didn't watch like Roswell or Dawson or anything like that.
Yeah. Which were much more teenage dramas too.
well, we're already multiple seasons in, and by then it's like, I don't want to start in the middle of the season. It's not like today where everything streams after and on demand and everything. So we actually started watching The Dawson and watching the first episode. Hey, it's got a great soundtrack.
Yes.
Because it's all, you know, those late 90s songs. But I found it enjoyable.
Interesting.
Much to my surprise. And the teen drama is not infuriating teen drama. Like, it didn't bother me like today does. And I don't know if it's maybe because it's relatable, because this was like 1998. So the characters are supposed to be like 15, 16, and in 98, you know, I was 19. But like the music, the clothing style, the how everything looks, like, I think that's my memories. Mm-hmm. So I'm more relatable to that maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but we've watched three episodes and I'm digging it. So we're just going to kind of keep watching together. Kate and I are watching it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of become our new show, I guess. Nice. So we'll keep watching it until we get annoyed with it. But I was very surprised at some of the topics, like, in the very first episode, they introduce a tease of like a teacher-student relationship.
Oh, okay.
And by episode, like, he's supposed to be 15, she's 43. And then by the third episode, they're like, they had the sex. Yes. And then I was just shocked. Like, I wasn't expecting this type of, you know, storyline.
Right.
But it was interesting. I found it interesting. Again, the teen drama, it's not as drama-y as the teen drama is today. It's not as, I don't roll my eyes while I'm watching it. And I'm actually more shocked at the nature of some of the stories and the dialogue and of anything, considering when it came out, of what they were talking about. Like, that's surprising to me. Because it seems even racy for 1998 TV, but that was the new edgy WB network, maybe. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yep. So anyhow, Westworld.
Yes, episode 6.
I actually don't remember what was the last episode I watched on Westworld.
So
it may have been the episode where where they find Maeve. I don't think I've watched one since then.
So this one dealt with Tessa Thompson's character talking to Caleb, interrogating him inside of a cell. Did you not?
Oh, yes, I did see that one. Yeah,
the one where he kind of gets out, air quotes.
Yes.
Which I don't know about you, but I knew all along. I'm like, oh, she let him do this. Like, you could see the other versions of himself that made it to different areas. And I'm like, she's doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
And it was all to see what he really knew. And then she's like, you left a message for your daughter. She didn't hear that. And he's like, yeah, she did. You're not going to succeed. And that was a little bit of a slow burn. Also was a slow burn. You know, Bernard finding another headpiece to plug into Maeve, you know, so that he could upload to her. Her consciousness to this other undamaged headpiece and plug in, and telling Frankie, I guess we can call her Frankie now, that one of her teammates didn't come back properly from the big city. I enjoyed that quite a bit, you know, when he was basically laying it on her, and he said, you know, it's different every time. He's like, sometimes it's your girlfriend, sometimes it's this one. In one time, it was even Stubbs here. And he's like, really? Yeah. One time it was you. But trying to figure out, like, who was actually the mole inside.
And they did bring Maeve back online. Who didn't she help out Frankie or something like that?
Yeah, like right at the last second as that guy was drawing down on her. And he's like, where did you put it? She's like, I stashed it. Where? Right behind you. And then Maeve just like stabs him in the back of the head. Yeah. That was great.
So yeah, I did watch this episode now that we've gone through it. So we, I think what, how many do we have left? Is there only two left? Like one aired last night.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know if there's 9 or 10 this season. 10 seems to be the common number lately.
Well, but no, like, so there was 10 the first two seasons and only 8 season 3.
Oh, well.
So that's why I'm wondering if we only have like this coming Sunday and that's it.
Well, episode 6 was the one that we just talked about. Episode 7 is the one that aired last night. So I'm looking it up right now.
So we have one more episode. This, well, there's the 8th episode airs this coming Sunday, the 14th. So, yeah, it's called Que Sera, Sera.
Yep. So yeah, we basically got this one and then next week's, this season's done. Has not
been a great season.
Exactly. Yep. Nothing, like, I wasn't that excited going into it. Nothing has made me not want to keep watching, but at the same time, I'm not super excited.
It is a tediously slow burn this season.
Yeah.
And it's like they're giving us a big setup for, this is the setup for next season. We took 8 episodes to set it up instead of one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We get it. You pulled the timeline trick again, you know, which you've pretty much done every season so far. Now the whole gimmick is that everyone on the planet is controlled by Dolores. You know, humans are controlled by the virus and hosts are, of course, hosts. But now there are outlier humans who aren't controlled and Caleb knows why. So, you know, yeah, you're basically setting us up so that we'll have a rebooted Maeve, a Bernard who kind of knows how to stop the apocalypse, and a Dolores who kind of controls everybody except for now you've got these cells that are rising back up. Okay.
Right.
Way to just, you know, spend an entire season setting up the next one. That's not
cool. No, it's really not. I don't know. I just want to get back to being a Western. That's when I liked it the most. Although I did enjoy Samurai World. That was fun.
Yep. I can agree with that.
What we do in the shadows. I got to be honest. This I struggled with this episode.
Really? I was the opposite. I was losing it on this episode.
I got so tired of the constant, let's come up with a new plan. This one failed. I really did.
Some of them were annoying, but holy crap. Like the constant Nandor getting more and more Botox and plastic surgery to his face to the point where he couldn't even open his eyes. I was losing it. Like
that was good. I was fine with that.
Because it was almost a background gag. And Harvey Gillian, who plays Guillermo, has a TikTok now, and he's been posting some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and it's funny as hell. Like, Nandor, the actor in that makeup trying to eat in his trailer, he's, like, filming him, and he's, like, taking these little tiny bites because he can barely open his mouth, and he's, like, chewing up these little tiny bites, and then he looks out, and he's like, why are you filming me? But, yeah, I love that. I love the reveal at the end. Some of them, yes, were completely stupid. You know, when he's like, he already knows that we're married. Like, why would you try to pretend that you two are married? But the reveal at the end, when he's like, yeah, the headmaster suffered a massive stroke. It, you know, humans can only take 7 hypnosis at a time. Before, you know, there are complications. And this guy endured like 436 in one setting. Blew his brain right out of his head. Although I also felt like you as a parent probably completely related to their solution at the end for, you know, taming the little asshole, which was put him in all the sports.
I'm out.
Every sport imaginable. Put him in there and let him wear himself out.
Yeah, it was a great move. It's just my opinion.
Yep. I bet a lot of parents were like, yeah, why didn't you do that from the get-go?
Pretty much. But I don't dislike the show by any means, but this episode was just a rough one for me.
Yeah, I get that. I loved it, but yes, I can absolutely understand because they went for the gimmicky schlocky, you know?
Yeah, I guess I don't like, sounds so weird. I don't like stupid humor.
Yes, you've mentioned that before.
Like parody movies. Like, I love Weird Al Yankovic. The man is a fucking genius, but he does parody in a brilliant way that no one has been able to duplicate, really.
Right.
But, like, and I, yes, I loved Naked Gun growing up and Airplane, but as an adult, like, any of the scary movies, any parody movies basically after that, like Not Another Teen Movie, Shriek, If You I Know What You Did Last Friday the 13th or some shit like that, like any of those movies.
Now you're forgetting, just
didn't care about them.
You're forgetting a key group in there.
What?
Which is the Mel Brooks movies.
Okay, so but that's different though. Again, different. Like yes, Spaceballs was a parody of Star Wars, but done Men brilliantly. Robin Hood Men in Tights was just a telling of Robin Hood. Blazing Saddles. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Highly inappropriate classic.
Oh, absolutely. Could not get away with that in this day and age if you tried, no. But it is still one of the best.
But to me, like, you know, he's just a genius, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Brooks is. So, like, I'm okay with that.
Yep. Good.
So. But, like, yeah, just certain paragraphs. And I don't know if that's why I struggled with, like, this episode, because it's stupid humor.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, I can get that.
Whatever, though. It is what it is.
You know what I found myself watching this week that I was surprised at? What? The premiere episode of the reboot of Beavis and Butthead.
Well, how was that?
See, I already have Paramount Plus, so I can watch it anyway, but I saw a thing I was browsing the other day while I was at work, and it said they made the first episode free on YouTube, and I was like, good. I can just watch that in my browser, and I don't have to, like, commit to watching the series on Paramount Plus, so if I don't like it, you know, it's easy that way. It was surprisingly good, and I'll tell you why. I always maintained that the best part of Beavis and Butthead were them watching the music videos.
Yeah.
And making fun of the music videos. That was always the best part. And so when MTV lost the rights to most of those music videos, which still blows my mind, and they couldn't air that, so they only aired the regular Beavis and Butthead stories, the show sucked dick. And so this one I had zero hope for. Well, guess what they did?
What?
Now, instead of watching music videos, they watch YouTube videos, they watch reaction videos, they watch TikTok trends, and they comment on those. And it's just as good as the music videos. So they found a way to make that aspect of the show modern. And, like, there was the first one that they watched was a girl doing a reaction video to checking for her Harvard acceptance. And she got in and her mom was, like, hugging her violently. And they're doing their typical thing. They're like, yeah, fight, fight, kick her ass, mom. Yeah, kick her ass. Make her regret ever getting into Harvard. Stuff like that. It was fucking hilarious. And I loved it. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Am I going to give it a hard sell? Oh, fuck no. It's still Beavis and Butthead. You know, the episode itself was dumb. It was an escape room, and these two girls wanted to get into the escape room, and the guy's like, no, you have to have a party of at least four. So they see Beavis and Butthead standing out on the sidewalk taking little milk cartons, and they put one at a time out into traffic and wait for a car to run it over, and it explodes on them, and then they put another one down, and then they put another one down. Yeah. So the girls bring them in, and they make the girls pay, you know, for the escape room, and they go down the hall and they see the door that says the mummy's tomb. And then to their right, they see the men's room, and they go into the men's room and they think that's the escape room. So they're trying their whole time to get out of the men's room because, you know, they push to get in the door and then they try to push to get out and they couldn't push to get out. So they were locked in, quote. So it's still stupid humor, but I definitely appreciate that they modernized the best aspect of the show.
Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that. That's respectable.
Yep. What else you got?
Let's see here.
According to my list, I see American Horror Stories
in the Orville is what I have.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I have. So American Horror Stories. I'm still digging this. Did you watch the most recent episode?
I did.
This one is about the serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you predict the ending?
No.
Yeah, I will say they actually got me on this one. I did not see. I did not see her being the killer.
I should have, though, because it's Bella Thorne, and everything that she's ever been in, she's a fucking psychopath.
Fair enough.
Think she just is in real life, so I should have predicted it, but yeah, they got me.
Yeah, and I definitely did not see her husband or whatever it is being like what his role was in the whole thing. I didn't see that either.
No. I was waiting for them at the very end to say that it was like her brother.
Yep.
Because it seemed like such a, what am I trying to say? Like a platonic relationship rather than a loving one. It almost seemed like familial.
I thought maybe like he had been, he was gay and they got married to cover something up or whatever. You know what
that I
mean?
I could see as well. Yep.
Yeah, so I thought maybe that's what happened with that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that's not what it was at all.
No. And I loved at the end when she was basically, she said to him, you know, like, I think it's time for you to do more than just bury the bodies. And he's like, really? And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, I want you to be there now. And I know the perfect person to start with.
Yep. I wish that they had kind of given her a little bit more of the explanation. Like they touched on it, but I feel like they could have gone a little bit deeper into it. You know, it was almost like, oh my God, what was that one with the girl, the movie with the God, remember she took revenge on the guys that, raped her. Or her friend in college got raped and the dean.
Yes. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it seemed like they were going for that kind of a vibe here, you know, that she basically had been violated and that she didn't trust men. And I felt like that was the only part where it was a little bit under explained. But yeah, it was a good twist. When Mr. Shamalama Ding Dong would have gone, wow.
How can I fuck this up?
Yeah. She was also an alligator. There you go.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, I'm still enjoying this season quite a bit.
I'm enjoying the season so far. I really like it a lot. I know they announced that the 11th season was going to be premiering this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really say I care too much about watching another season of American Horror Story. But I'll keep watching the American Horror Stories.
Yes. Yeah, I really dig the format, you know, the anthology.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely there for that.
And I'm trying to think, this season 11, I don't even know what it's supposed to be about. Yeah, I don't think I even know what this one's about yet.
Hmm. Interesting.
Sorry. Just listening to Wesley. And he gave his mom a little grief about something, and I think it's funny. But anyways, yes. Let's see here. The new season's title casting official premiere is still to be announced. But apparently they just confirmed it's going to come out this fall. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all they've actually confirmed is that season 11 will premiere this fall, but we have no idea what it's about.
Hmm.
Which is kind of funny.
It's kind of funny, but it's also kind of like on par for them.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I remember in the past, it seemed like they would wait until right before it came out to even show us what the title card was going to look like. Sorry. Mm.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we'll see what happens, I guess. I mean, I'll try it. Like, I'll watch the first episode. But
yeah.
It probably is going to coincide with the end of this season of American Horror Stories.
You think so?
I believe that's what they did last year. Like, I believe the season 10 debuted the week after the end of American Horror Stories, which ends on September 8th. So perhaps it will. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out. The Orville. I don't know.
Future
I struggled.
Unknown.
I struggled with this show the whole season. There were some good episodes. There were some really tiresome episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the run times were just
too much,
too long, and not enough. In the majority of them, not enough going on to really carry the story. And I'm really, really, Seth MacFarlane really displayed to us his dramatic acting limitations.
Yes.
With his stern looks and looks of concern that just don't seem to be any different.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about that. So this episode I struggled with because I felt like they didn't know what they were trying to do this episode. Like they started it with Bordas and Clyden running naked through the woods, chasing each other to prove that they could be married again.
Bordas had to chase Clyden and catch him.
Yeah. And Clyden had to try not to be caught.
Yeah. Why doesn't Clyden just let you catch him? So, I mean, you guys want to get remarried. You want this to happen. Oh, well, no, because that would be basically there's ritual is that he chases him down, captures him and rapes him. And now they're married. That was my takeaway.
The in their culture, you have to like there had to be genuine pursuit and capture. Like the essence or whatever would know if they messed with it or if they were just like, no, we're just going to let you catch me. Like it had to be genuine fear, genuine chase. I was like, okay, so is that what this episode's going to be about? No, because then we immediately go to Isaac realizing, a bonding ritual is important, so I'm going to ask Claire to marry me. And I don't have a reason other than it's expected, which honestly, I've seen people get engaged for much worse reasons. So, you know, his wasn't really that bad. What I was going to say, though, is the number of times in this where, like, the women were all drunk and asking Seth MacFarlane's Ed Mercer, like, his opinions, or, like, she's trying on the dresses, and they're like, Captain, come take a look at this. I know he was trying to do the henpecked man thing, but he couldn't even do that right. Like, this guy really needs to stick to voice acting. Or a scripted movie. Like, he was fine in A Million Ways to Die in the West. I enjoyed him quite a bit in that.
I thought he was brilliant in that. Yes. I think comedy is his shtick. Like when he's doing comedy, it works. When he's being serious, it doesn't work.
It doesn't. No, it really doesn't. And
this season was definitely way more serious than the other seasons.
Yep. So we had the whole Isaac wants to get married thing. We had there was another story that was going on at the same time, and now for some reason I'm struggling to think about it. I can't remember.
We had the married story, the border story. We had the girl from season one
found
on a planet that didn't have, basically I'm going to sum it up Star Trek style, they hadn't discovered warp technology yet.
Yep.
But she had seen the Orville, and she was on a shitty planet, and she didn't like anyone there, so they said, come pick me up, please.
And Lamar, in season one, I had to like go back and read a recap, because I obviously didn't care about that episode so much that I forgot it. Lamar had gone there, and he was on trial for his life, and she basically got them to let him go. They weren't a primitive people. It was more like it was supposed to reflect where we're at right now, you know, 21st century Earth.
Yeah.
Like you said, she basically gets a communication out to them and is like, hey, this place sucks. Will you please come pick me up? And they're like, okay, well, she's kind of already been exposed to this technology anyway, so there's no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
And then she decides, I could help my people. They're really not that bad. I just asked to be rescued from them. But, you know, she was having survivor's guilt because now she got to live with replicators and medical technology far beyond. And everybody was left there to suffer in, you know, wallow in misery.
Yep.
So she tries to steal stuff. They catch her stealing it. And then they show her the hollow deck of the one civilization that they tried to do that to, that they tried to like jumpstart them, and they destroyed themselves and their planet. So that girl's stuck on there for now on.
Well, no, so she is going to stay there with them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And then was it Allura or whatever came back from season one?
Yeah, for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, she can't be in the gravity too long.
Mm-hmm.
Or the lack of gravity or whatever it is. So,
yep. I mean, it was cool of them to bring her back. Also that we didn't realize that this was going to be Norm MacDonald's last episode.
Right.
Bordas's best man duties were awful. His interpretation of Elvis was terrible. His jokes were horrific. I didn't enjoy any of that, even as a jokey thing.
Yeah, that was rough. All kidding aside.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's just not funny.
Yeah, and Clyden is like, oh, he's killing it. No, no, he's really not. He's killing the mood, if anything.
Yep. But anyhow.
That was it for shows for you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it for shows for me.
I will say I have now watched the first two episodes of Sandman, and
I did try to start watching one last night. I was so flippin' tired though, I just couldn't do it. Like I just couldn't pay attention. I found it to be confusing.
There's some kind of irony there. The fact that you were that tired trying to watch a show called Sandman about the King of Dreams.
I know. I was trying to pay attention to him. Like, the fuck am I watching? Like, I struggled.
Yeah. All I will say so far is that the visuals are fucking stunning, and really? I am really digging the show. Yeah, I really like this show. Like, I was super excited to watch more of it. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to last, like, meeting it out little bits at a time. So,
yeah,
there's 10 episodes. It's weird though. Like the first episode was like 54 minutes long. The second one was 35. And then the next one's like 45. And then they go back up to like high 40s, low 50s.
How long was the first episode?
54 minutes, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I thought it seemed long.
Yeah.
But then did you say another one was 25?
37. 37 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was still like, wow, that's only 37 and then 45. And I'm like, what the shit? But then they all jump back up. Excuse me.
All right.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll probably talk more about that next week when you've watched some.
Cool, cool. Did you watch any
movies?
I did. I watched a movie. Again, I had a rough week.
Yeah. I watched three movies.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. Let me think. Let me think real quick. What did I watch on Friday? I didn't watch a movie. Oh, no. I had to go to bed at 8:30 when I got found out about. That's right. So I didn't watch anything Friday. I went to bed at like 8:30. And then Saturday, watched that one movie. And then I watched American Horror Stories, went to bed. Sunday, came home. And then struggled to stay awake, went to sleep. Thursday, I worked a double. Wednesday, yeah, I watched a movie.
So I actually beat you this week at movies. I got three of them. Holy crap.
All right. What'd you watch, sir?
I watched The Gray Man.
What'd you think?
It was a good action movie.
Yeah, it was. It's a good action movie. I didn't say the story was spectacular. It's a good action movie.
Yep. It kept me entertained. I liked the banter between them. It's nothing that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to watch that one again, but I definitely enjoyed it. No,
but it was a good action movie, and do you see how they're going to create a universe on it?
Yes. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
If they actually go through with it.
Right.
But yeah, no, I did enjoy it. Anybody who likes a good action movie, solid male leads, lots of over the top, like I am a killing machine, I can do anything that I want kind of stuff. Definitely check it out. Yeah, it was good. On the opposite end, though, because I know what one movie you watched, it's one of the ones I watched, so we'll talk about that in a second. Today I said, hey, that horror movie, They Slash Them, with Kevin Bacon. Oh,
I wanted to watch that, and I say wanted. Keep going.
Yeah, don't. In fact, if you try to watch this movie, I'm going to come over to your house and bitch slap you.
Yeah, I heard it was terrible.
It is fucking atrocious. And I don't even mean, like, before the haters come at me, I am not going to say that this was horrible because of the subject matter. I'm going to say that this was horrible because, A, they billed it as a horror movie, and it is not. We were an hour in, and I'm like, is anything ever going to happen horror-wise? Like, nobody has died. There's no murders. There's nothing. And B, the people that run this camp are just fucking awful people. Like, I can't even say how badly I hated this. To the point where, like I said, I was an hour in and I just started jumping ahead scenes to see what was going to happen. And it was just terrible. When it first popped up on Peacock, they had the Rotten Tomatoes score in the lower left hand corner of like 32%. And I'm like, that you shouldn't do that. Like, don't put that up on your screen if it's that bad.
Don't brag about that.
Yeah. And when I went to look up one of the actors to see if I'd seen them in something else, I went on IMDb and it was at like a 3 out of 10. And I'm like, Jesus, it was terrible. Like, this was just, it was not a horror movie. It was just it was a homophobic, anti-trans, anti-gay, just stupid backwoods movie. And no, I can't recommend it. And like I said, I even go so far as to anti-recommend it. I am telling everybody, do not watch this piece of garbage.
Huh.
Yeah. It's not as bad as Cabin in the Woods, but it's close.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, that's
so that's bad. That's my anti-recommendation. That's like that's a hard sell in the opposite direction. A hard sell of don't watch this movie. I'm sorry. It's Kevin Bacon. Like, you would think. And Anna Chlumsky was in there. I was like, wow, Kevin Bacon and Anna Chlumsky. Like, that's great. Nope. Horrid.
Really?
The whole premise, like I said, I thought it was going to be a summer camp slasher flick. No, this is a gay conversion camp. And everybody shows up on the first day. And Kevin Bacon's like, I don't care if you're gay or straight, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's free to be their own person. I want you to be happy. So, you know, let's figure out why you're here and let's talk to you. And no, they really do care, and they hate all of them, and they're there to deprogram them. And, you know, he says at the end, he's like, you know, I just made all these people over the years into the people that they wanted to be deep down inside. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, I heard someone else say that it was absolutely terrible, not to waste your time. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, I'm here to back that person up. I don't even know who it is, but I back them up. So there.
And what was the third movie you watched?
Prey.
All right, I'm just gonna tell you, I absolutely friggin' love this movie.
I fucking adored this movie. This was great.
I cannot believe this did not get a theatrical release. Like, I guess good on Hulu for, you know, getting the distribution rights to it, but I cannot believe this did not get a theatrical release.
I can't either. Like, this was awesome. I didn't know if I could get Julia to watch it because, you know, she's not usually a big one for horror and such. And I kind of laid out the premise for her and she's like, yeah, I'll check it out. She loved it too. Like, this was a great movie.
Yeah, I did. Like, my cousin Johnny, he had a gig at Jokers and Brews or something like Jokers and Rogues or whatever it is. The brew pub that just opened in Farmingdale.
Okay.
Where Elliot off EOP used to be, next to the hardware store behind Fry House, you know,
okay,
the veterinarian place. So him and his band, they had a gig there. So like all the family went to watch him. And I had a couple of there. They do something brilliant. They charge you $3 for what they call a 5-ounce sampler.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is the perfect amount of beer. So I can try their brew of their porter, and I loved it. But I don't – when I go have a beer now, like, that's about all I want.
Nice.
More than that just doesn't agree with me since my stomach surgery. Anyhow, So he came over after, and he had never seen a Predator movie before. Because I asked him about it when I'd seen him kind of earlier in the week. Hey, do you want to watch this movie? And he's like, yeah, it'd be great. He's like, I've never seen a Predator movie. Is that going to make a difference? So I was like, well, in this case, I don't think it will, because this is supposed to be like the first time a Predator came to the planet, allegedly. So no, I think you can watch this without any conflicts, and absolutely true. So if you've never seen any of the other Predator movies before,
well,
you don't need to watch them to watch this movie, in my opinion.
No, you don't. In fact, actually watching this one makes the handoff of the gun at the end of Predator 2 make a bit more sense. Well, kind yes. of make a bit more sense.
Well, not really. How'd the Predator get it back? Well,
yeah, well, the credits comic scene there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't really want to spoil this. So, hey, if you haven't watched the movie, skip ahead, stop listening, whatever. Don't let this be spoiled for you. Go watch the movie. It's right. well worth your time. I would give this a yeah. hard sell. Like, oh, if I had seen yeah. this in the theater, I would probably I might even go see it again in the theater. Like, bring someone that hadn't seen it yet.
This was so good. Yes, I give it a hard sell as well.
I plan to watch it again in Comanche with the English subtitles, because that is an option.
Oh, I didn't realize that was an option. That was like my only thing where I was like, you know how yeah. they could have done this a little better. Oh, that's yes. amazing.
So, you have to, when you're on the movie, you select like on the bottom, it says like other viewing options or something like that. Uh-huh. You click down there, and then you have to like select like the tile of it being in Comanche with English subtitles.
Mm. Oh, and I wasn't even going to dig on it hard, but I was like, you know what would have made this cooler is if they had done that. But I dug being able to understand them completely, but yeah, that's awesome.
So I am going to watch it again with that. But, so spoiler central now, it takes place in 1719 in the Great Plains. It's the Comanche Indians or Native Americans. I want to be correct, but they're the Comanches. And it's essentially the star is a girl or a woman who is treated as a woman, and she wants to be a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother is like the big fierce hunter of the family or of the tribe. Mm-hmm. And
but he's not a dick about it.
No, he's not. He's actually very supportive of his sister, but at the same time, while trying to maintain his manliness in front of everybody else.
Right.
But like, she points out so much stuff that the other guys miss. And,
uh-huh.
you know, it's like, and again, it's the standard format of like, well, there's something that scared that opossum, all those opossums out of the wood. Out of the woods. Oh, you're overreacting. You know what I mean? Like, everything's mm-hmm. easily dismissed, but that's normal. This movie was really good. They built a brilliant story. They built great characters. They gave us a bunch of fodder kills. They gave us great action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us a new Predator.
Yeah.
A Predator with a different, like, a Predator that still had its technology, but not, like, when we first met the Predator in 87 in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Predator, this Predator had, like, the big laser cannon. You know what I mean?
Yep. This he also Predator, had, like, the weird dreadlocks
yeah,
on his mask.
Which this one, still, I mean, they've always had the dreadlocks.
See, I didn't see it on this one. I saw the mouth tendrils.
No, this had dreadlocks.
Okay.
Yeah. But the mouth was different.
Mm-hmm. The body looked different too.
The body was different. Yeah.
Like aboriginal.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Predator was mimicking the Comanches.
Yes. He had the leathery looking face mask.
Yeah. But he was still in a spaceship. He still mm-hmm. had, you know, he had the net that we saw in Predator 2. You know what I mean? He had yep. technologies, but
pop up razor blades and
his mask with the scope, and it was on his mask instead of being like on a shoulder cannon.
Yep.
And instead of shooting a laser, it shot arrows that would yes. trace and go to where the laser sight was pointing to.
Yep.
I thought that was interesting. It's like it was mimicking what it's, you know. And combatants had, but they did have muskets, which was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I mean, this movie was so freaking good, John. Like, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And Johnny dug it, and he's excited to watch the other ones.
Like, I was going into it, I was like, I bet this is going to be pretty good because it was getting rave reviews and all the scores were super high. And I was like, I'll bet this is going to be pretty good. And it was better than pretty good. Like, it was great.
Yeah, I was pretty damn excited.
Yeah. And I think with all that description you just did, it wasn't even that spoilerific. So,
yeah. Well, now here comes the spoilerific part of it. There is an end credit scene. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a blinking, you miss it one. Because when they start the credits, during the credits, you get like, it's not hieroglyphics or anything like that, but you get like,
it's cave paintings.
Like cave paintings or whatever, the telling the story of our star, you know, from when we meet her to everything that happens in the movie to the end where she delivers the Predator's head to her people. And then that's where the movie ends. But the cave painting drawing, if you will, then cuts to like them looking to the sky and like three spaceships come out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see if they do a sequel.
Yes. Now, I didn't do too much research on this, but apparently in the comics, in some of the Predator comics, one of the Predators actually got that gun from the original owner.
Okay.
So, you know, the guy whose name was etched into the side. So this changes that a bit, but I still love the way that it is. I'm sad to think that, like, right after she took him down, you know, they were like, oh, we're coming to get him. Oh, he's not here. Well, we're going to wipe you all out, take that gun back. But something happened to get that gun so that they could give it to Danny Glover. Somehow. You know what's very interesting about that? You're going to like this. I read an article on this today, and basically they didn't want to do a replica. They wanted to use the gun from Predator 2.
Yep.
But they had lost it. They had no idea where it was. So the effects department, the guys who do all the props and everything, started watching YouTube videos on how to make replicas. And one of the videos, they saw it sitting on a guy's wall in the background, and they contacted him, and he's like, yeah, I bought that from the set. And they were like, could you loan it to us so that we could have it for the movie? And he's like, fuck yeah. So that is, in a roundabout way, it is the one from Predator 2. Just they didn't have it kicking around. Like, you remember how in Stranger Things they said that the sword was Conan's sword and they had it, you know, sitting in a back room somewhere. This was like, oh, we're going to have to make a replica. And they're watching these videos. They're like, dude, look at that gun. No, no fucking way. And they contact the guy. He's like, yeah, I bought that.
That's cool as shit.
Yeah, I was like, Michael, appreciate that.
I most certainly will, and most certainly do.
Yep.
But yeah, anyhow, I really did love this movie. Like, I really did, really do.
yep. It was awesome. It was so good.
I'm looking forward to hopefully they do a sequel. I really hope they do a sequel.
I mean, I think that they can. it doesn't necessarily have to be an exact sequel starring these same characters. I think that this basically proved to them that the Predator franchise is alive and well and awesome.
I know, but this one was done so well that that's what they need to duplicate. They need to duplicate how well this one was done with the next one. You know what I mean? Because if you think about it, like, this one's 1719. We got another 250 years before they catch up to where the first time we see the Predator is.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
Because, really, if you look at, we got Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then we got Predator 2 with Danny Glover. Arguably the oddest Predator movie. Well, maybe not. And then we got Alien versus Predator, Alien versus Predator Requiem, both done very well, but the timeline is it continues going on. Like, then we got Predators, which was like in the future on another planet where they abducted these people from Earth and brought them to this other planet for the hunt. And that was done very well, actually, in my opinion.
Great twist.
Yes, great twist. And then we got the new Predator movie, which ended very groany, like with the predator, like there's one race of predators battling the other race of predators, and one race is going to help humanity. And the Mary Sue kid who figured out how to work the predator spaceship and the Predator killer suit. I mean, like, ugh. Like, I enjoyed parts of the movie, but other parts were super groany.
Yes. Yep.
So
I'll agree with you there.
But no, this was fucking brilliant. This was brilliant.
Loved it.
Good. I'm glad you felt the same way.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, I am going to watch this again in Comanche just because I want to have that experience. But yeah, I really, really thoroughly enjoyed the movie.
By the way, speaking of movies, I wanted to point this out to you. I don't know if you noticed. I booted up Netflix the other day. Uncharted is now on Netflix.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I do want to watch that, and I will gladly watch it on Uncharted. Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. I'm probably going to try to check that out this week. I was shocked. I was like, this can't be right. Yes, it is. Huh. And apparently I saw a thing on today. I'm going to keep an eye on it, but they said that it's either I think it's Paramount Plus. The Black Phone is going to be there August 11th.
Oh, no shit already, huh?
Yep.
That's in 3 days.
Looking forward to see that. Yeah. So are we up to news and trailers?
Yes, we are.
So the first piece of news that I had said that has kind of kept coming back over this week is it was part of a bigger story. But basically, Warner Brothers is having this thing where Discovery Plus and HBO Max are going to be merging next year.
Oh, yeah. And people are pissed about that for some reason.
Well, people are pissed because what's happening is the people in charge of Discovery Plus are setting all the rules. And they're saying, we don't like this, we don't like this. So HBO Max is canceling shows and not going to be allowed to carry certain things because the Discovery people are like, no, it has to be our way.
That's odd. You would think the HBO Max would have more pull than the Discovery Plus people.
And that's exactly what everyone's saying. Like, literally, everyone's like, this makes zero sense. Why is it that HBO Max doesn't have the clout and Discovery does? So,
yeah, that seems very odd to me.
Yeah. So they basically have canceled the Batgirl movie, even though it was done.
That pisses me off, just to be
blunt. It was done. It was ready to go. And it's good to go. Like, it's ready to be put out there in the world. And they didn't delay it. They canceled it because they said, we decided that this doesn't match up with our views of what we want the DC universe to look like. We've decided we want to have a 10-year plan like Marvel does. And, you know, this was a $70 million movie that, you know, we only want blockbusters. We only want theatrical releases. This one was just going to HBO Max. So, yeah, we've decided that we're just not going to do this. We're just not going to release it. If this was pre-production or if this was partway through production, it would have made some sense. It still would have been a dick move, but it would have made some sense. The fact that it is done, it is in the can, it is ready to go, and they're like, no, this will never see the light of day. Fuck these guys. Fuck them in their asses.
Yeah, it's horse shit. We're supposed to see Michael Keaton as Batman in this, and now we're mm-hmm. not.
Yep.
That's bullshit. The fact that it's just all bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
The most recent to jump on this topic was Kevin Smith, which we've both had our problems with Kevin Smith recently, but he basically said that this was a coward's move. And the fact that they're still going to be releasing The Flash with Ezra Miller, who just tonight was now charged with felony theft charges for breaking into a house in Vermont and stealing liquor. Don't know how that's a felony, but okay. He's like, this is a coward's move. You people canceled an already done Latin Batgirl movie, and you don't think that looks bad on you? Bullshit. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I can't believe. And that's the thing. I was not sitting here like, I can't wait to see Batgirl. I would have seen it. It's not highest on my list of things to see. I'm just blown away by the fact that they did this.
No, I was sitting here saying, man, I can't fucking wait to see Batgirl because I want to see Michael Keaton as Batman again.
Yeah, exactly. And now they said that he was going to be in Aquaman 2, but now it didn't make sense because there was supposed to be like he was supposed to appear here first, and then it would have made sense to see him in Aquaman 2, but now that's why they're going to have Ben Affleck instead, because it wouldn't make sense without that. I don't know. The whole thing is fucked up, and they have been screwing up their DC timeline forever. And this is just one more way that they fucking fucked up.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed.
Moving on. In a move that also baffles and makes me say, why? Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be starring in the lead role of a Roadhouse reboot on Prime Video. So he's going to be playing Patrick Swayze's part. First off, Roadhouse does not need to be rebooted. Secondly,
it is not.
Patrick Swayze is dead. So how about you just leave the movie as is, as a classic?
Yeah.
Thirdly, Jake fucking Gyllenhaal?
Well, you know, honestly, I'm sure when Roadhouse came out in the trailers, people were saying, Patrick Swayze is a badass? I don't believe that. You know, you mean the guy from Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure people thought the same thing. But, yeah. Oh, you sent a trailer for Secret Headquarters.
Uh-huh.
And moving on.
I saw it. You had to see it.
Yeah, I know. I know you do that. That's why I sent you a trailer. Spirit Halloween, the movie. Okay. I mean, I heard about this. I still don't know why we're getting it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know. They're a fucking Halloween store. Like, they sell costumes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Seasonally.
Yeah. And this is the story about a haunted one. That, you know, once per, what is it, year for like an hour on Halloween, anyone who died can come back. Okay.
Yeah, it's not,
it's a cash grab,
but it's got Christopher Lloyd and Rachel Lee Cook and Jaden Smith and, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. Moving on. Let's see here. Oh, Beverly Hills Cop 4. Officially, like, they've released a poster for it. It's coming to Netflix in 2023. Axel Foley is going to Beverly Hills once again. He gets a phone call from an old friend about his estranged daughter. He makes new enemies, teams up with his daughter and her ex-boyfriend, a detective, to take on drug cartels and conspiracy within the Beverly Hills PD. So...
Mm-hmm.
Production begins at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
She-Hulk got pushed back a day to not coincide with the Dancing with the Stars season 31 debut. How the fuck are those conflicting shows?
They're not. I didn't.
One is on at a set time. One is on whenever you turn it on.
Yeah. I didn't get that either. It seemed like a lame excuse.
Yep. I sent you the trailer to Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Yes, you did.
You had to watch that.
Yep. I have now watched that.
Oh, so K2SO is not going to be in Andor, the first season.
For the first
season, I hate these fucking headlines, by the way.
I know. Yeah. Won't be like, the upcoming prequel. That means the whole prequel.
Right, exactly. Right. Not just the first season of the prequel, which, but it makes sense storyline-wise. So at first I was like, this is horseshit. And then you read the arc, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, they're basically saying, you know, we meet Andor before he was a master of infiltrating the Empire, so he wouldn't be able to get access to, much less reprogram, a Empire battle droid.
Right, exactly. So it makes sense.
Yep.
Moon Knight, season 2.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
I love the first season, and, you know, it's one of those, like a lot of these Marvel shows, they're like, no, one and done. One and done. You know, the only one was Loki. They definitely said was getting a second one. And now this is like getting a second one. Great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Give me some Midnight Suns action.
Yep. I'm here for that. Lady Gaga is going to be Harley Quinn.
So this was a whole lot of news about this movie. And I still am on record as fucking hating the first movie. So Lady Gaga,
there were moments that it was good, but it should not have been a Joker movie. It just should have been a guy that just had a bad day and lost his mind.
Yeah. And now they're doubling down because now we're going to have Lady Gaga as Harleen Quinzel. And yeah. It's going to be a musical. Yeah.
You know what movie I actually like that shocks me I liked?
What's that?
The new Batman movie.
I still haven't watched that one yet.
You should. It's on fucking HBO Max.
Yeah, no, it's not like I'm protesting it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Well, do it. It's a good movie. I wanted your opinion. I'm surprised how much I liked it.
Yeah. And I remember you saying that. It's drawn me to want to watch it, but I just have never gotten around to it.
I even watched it in the theaters and then on HBO Max at home. Later on. Like I've seen That's it twice. Impressive. Yeah. Yeah. Like I've seen it twice. I've only seen Doctor Strange once so far.
Damn.
So do revenge.
I'm digging it.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'll watch the hell out of that.
Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. A little nice Netflix pickup. Looks good. And I'm absolutely there for it.
Apparently, we're getting a second Eternals movie, according to Patton Oswalt, with Chloe Zhao returning to direct. Okay.
I don't know why, but okay.
Yeah. I don't think that I sent you anything on this, but basically, Rosario Dawson has now walked back her comments saying that Jon Bernthal was getting a new Punisher series on Disney Plus. She's saying something lame like, when people tell you stuff at cons or something like that, apparently you have to take it with a grain of salt. It was a lame excuse for her, you know, saying, oh, whoops, I guess I was wrong. That's not really happening. So I don't know why, but yeah, they made her retract her statement.
Because they haven't done an official release. I think so,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
You made me watch the trailer to Tell Me Lies. That's a dick move on your part.
Yeah, well, I told you, I kept waiting for there to be a good twist. I kept waiting for there to be something. And it was one of those, I started watching the trailer, and like, I'd say 15 seconds in, I just sent it to you. Like, I'll do that sometimes where I'll start watching a trailer, and I'm like, well, we're going to talk about this, so I'll send it to him. And then I'm like, fuck, I wish I could hit the unsend button.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've done that's happened to me as well. And again, I kept waiting for like, oh, now it's going to get good. Oh, here, where's the big twist? And then I'm like, oh, this is very uneventful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It seemed really dumb and lame.
I sent you a teaser trailer for $18.99.
Yep.
It's a new international series, if you will, from the makers of Dark on Netflix. And that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, same. Like, the trailer itself looked great.
Yeah. Trailer looked great. I was a big fan of Dark. I'm here for it.
Yep, same.
And I sent you the trailer to Pearl.
Which sparked a bit of a discussion.
Yeah, didn't it, though? I loved how you were like, Pearl looks interesting. And then I sent you Pearl is the prequel to X. And immediately you sent me, is a prequel to X or maybe a side story?
Because... they got the same actress to play Pearl.
Yes. So in X, Mia Goth plays the young girl, if you will, in X. And then she also plays the old lady Pearl in full makeup.
Yeah.
So in this movie, she's playing Pearl, a young Pearl who first starts her career as a killer. But she looks like Mia Goth, because that's who she is. But there's no makeup or anything. So it can be confusing, like... wait a second, is this her, but right before the other movie or something? Like, what's going on?
You see Mia Goth as Pearl in Pearl, and then you see Mia Goth, clearly Mia Goth, as Maxine in X.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, if you look it up, she actually plays Pearl in the old woman makeup.
Yeah, in X.
X.
And the old woman Pearl at X is suddenly wants to kill people, and it doesn't make sense. We don't get like any lead to the backstory. We don't get any understanding as to why she would want to kill people all of a sudden or act the way she acted. But they explain it all in this, that she's like a nymphomaniac psychopath somehow. I thought X wasn't very good. Like, I loved the start and then hated the end. So maybe this will make it seem better. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
What did you think of that trailer for Fall?
Oh, so much fucking anxiety.
Yeah, right?
The scene where the ladder pieces just fall down, the endlessly high thing. I'm like, nope, nope.
Yeah, nope, 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 nope.
Whew. And, then I sent you a news article that was interesting. Kevin Smith is buying the New Jersey movie theater. It's over 100 years old that him and his dad used to go and see movies when he was a little kid. And good for him, you know, good for him being able to do that. Apparently he tweeted something out earlier today that somebody working at the theater said that they got bomb threats because someone was like, if Kevin Smith buys this, we will blow it up.
Yeah.
But good for them for having that much free time and patriotism, I guess. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Kevin Smith these days, but hey, if he wants to buy an old theater and keep it alive and running, good for him and good for the theater. You know, if they said he was going to buy it and turn it into a weed shop, that's a whole other story. You know, then I will.
No, it's people like Kevin Smith that are going to buy an old movie theater and actually keep it alive and keep it from going under because they have the money to invest in it.
Exactly.
And, it's you know, like Quentin Tarantino and his theater out in L.A.
Yes. Yes. So in that case, I support them and I say good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
Is that it?
That's it for me.
That's it for me.
Well, then I guess that's our show. I'm on the Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And I guess thank you very much.
We will talk to you next week. No, I was about to say same Batgirl time, same Batgirl channel. Boo.